The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm 44.
And you're showing it.
Vincent!
That come was here. a rotten thing to say at my age, I'm entitled to be in the street.
You're
only
are.
44. I was thinking yesterday, I am older than Vincent Brown, Eamon Dunphy, and Elton John.
Yeah.
But I've more hair than the three of them put together.
And that was the unmistakable and unforgettable voice of feminist, journalist and campaigner Nell McCafferty, who passed away aged 80 at a nursing home in Donegal. I'm joined on the line now by Pat Coyle, former journalist and a good friend of Nell's. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You both come from the town you love so well.
So well, and indeed we did. And I think we, it'd be fair to say we both never lost our accents either. Nell had always that remarkable Derry accent. I'm laughing at the clip you played there, where she says, "I think at my age, I'm entitled to be indiscreet," as if Nell ever weighed up her words or thought twice at any age. I think that was one of the hallmarks. You never knew what Nell was going to say. She shot straight from the hip, and in some ways made her a bit scary, I think, for people, men or women, because you didn't know what was coming next. Though, mind you, it always was different and always insightful.
Now, you knew her through your sister, really, initially, because she was at school with your sister.
She went to school with my sister, Margaret, who's 16 years older than me. Margaret used to be always saying, "How is Nell younger than me?" She was always trying to figure that out. My sister will be 82 in October. But I think in those days, people went to school, you know, maybe if you were six or you were five or you were four, you could end up. And I'd say Nell was very bright. And my sister always said that about how bright she was, remembered her as very bright at school. And then, of course, when she came down south and, you know, her name began to become very well known and back up at home, I was always interested in her and interested in her work. And I have to say, I think everybody would say, Pat, that what she writes is, you know, she always wrote in the most striking way.
Yeah. Now, she studied at Queen's, and that would have been a pioneering move for someone of her circumstance from Derry.
Absolutely.
In those days.
Absolutely. See, she would have been part of that whole group, like when the 1948 Education Act, Bevan's Act in England came in. And like that was people like Nell. She lived very near Seamus Dean. We all lived in that area. John Hume, Brian Friel, all those people who would have benefited from a free education, basically, you know, and subsidised education. And by God, they made some use of it. Like, I mean, look at those names I've just listed to you there.
Now, Nell's journalism, and you were aware of it even before you came to Dublin, I suppose, but she was writing about the courts, and her writing about the plight of children appearing in the children's court was memorable and powerful and influential in bringing about change.
Absolutely. I mean, I just heard, I think it was Olivia Leary was saying this morning that, you know, she wrote, it wasn't just about the children and what happened there, but it was also the state of the courts and the toilets and what it was like to be there. You felt you were in those courts. And the story was told about her writing about, you know, the Hare Krishna people being brought up because of their dress and what they were wearing and all this. And apparently the powers that be, you know, got on to the other powers that be and said, you can't be doing things like that. Like, you can't be charging people for how they look or how they're dressed or whatever. And obviously then it brought the attention to, I think what was really important about it, like how the faces behind the people who were statistics, what kind of lives they lived, why they were there in those courts. You know, that, I think that was crucial. She always looked at a story from a different angle. And that story was through the eyes of the people. That she was a very good listener. And she could really look on them, Pat, with, I think, a compassionate heart. So, for example, there's a book that I don't know if many of people down here would have read, but it was called Peggy Deary, An Irish Family at War. And it was about the Deary family from Creggan in Derry. And it was the most moving book because Peggy Deary had a big family, and, you know, there was poverty, there was struggle. her son was blown up on his way to deliver a bomb along with another IRA operative. And Nell tells the whole, in some ways, of the troubles through that family story.
Yeah.
And I remember reading it and putting it down and weeping, just burst into tears, you know, because it was an insight that you wouldn't have got, that you got to the people and behind why people do what they do and the lives they live. And she did that on so many topics with compassion. And I think that moved people. And I think that's what brought about change. And she definitely helped to change attitudes and things in Irish society.
Now, she's celebrated, of course, for her part in the Irish women's liberation movement. And that has been much chronicled. Something maybe that might be forgotten is some work she did with me. And I'm not sure whether you were involved in the radio program at that stage, but Italia 90. And we sent a young man called John Egan off to report on Italia 90. And in some inspired producer decided to send Nell McCafferty along with John to Italia 90. And she reported every day. She knew absolutely nothing about football. But as an observer of the phenomenon of the Irish fans at large, she was impeccable.
That's amazing. I wasn't involved in that, but what a genius stroke, because that's the talent that she had. You see, she observed people. You know, she had beautiful eyes. I always thought her eyes, there were these piercing blue eyes, and she would look at things askance. She just saw something, I think, that maybe the rest of us didn't see. And then that sense of humour, I'm glad that clip you played was great, Pat, because she did have a great sense of humour, spared nobody with it, and you didn't know what was going to come out. But that, I think, was also part of her. Like, she did love life, and she did love watching people and what they did, and obviously the underdog. And, you know, even in terms of the troubles and all, and sometimes people say, oh, Nell McCafferty's a roaring Republican, or she's a roaring nationalist or whatever. Even the Republican movement or anybody else, you wouldn't know what way Nell was going to go. She had her own opinions on everything, and she would speak them out without fear or favour.
Now, many people mellow with age. Do you think Nell did a bit?
It's a good question. You know, all I know is that she was very good to me, Pat, in the later years. And I remember I was doing a programme on RTE. It was the late Vincent Brown's late night programme. And it was before the ceasefires in that terrible year, 93, 94. And Vincent Brown decided it would be a good idea to do an OB from Drumcree. Now, the OB, can I tell you, what consisted of like four mobile phones, the big clunky ones. And myself and Noel O'Reilly, a colleague of mine, and we're terrified that not apart from what he was going up into with just two other people, but also would those lines go down? Would the mobile phones wear out? Would the batteries go? And we would be left with no air, with no program. So I said to Noel, I'm going to ring Nell McCafferty and see if Nell would come in. And she said, you're going to ring Nell and invite her into a programme in which you're not putting her on unless the programme goes west and you've nothing else to do. And I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I rung her and I said, look, Nell, I'm not putting you on the programme. It's live from up there. You may be sitting doing nothing but twiddling your thumbs, but would you come in? And she just said, I'll do it for you, Pat. I will. And I was so grateful. I think we went down, we lost two phones. And at one stage, we rushed around the studio and Vincent Brown talked to her for about 2 minutes. And then we were okay. And she came back out of the studio again. And like she spent that, you know, there was a good 2 hours there.
Effectively doing nothing.
Doing nothing. And her a journalist and commentator and would have been eating and drinking that stuff. You
know, she was at your wedding?
She was at my wedding. She was indeed. I met her. You see, I was always in awe of Nell, like because it was 16 years between us and because of her name and because of her writings. But when I went to the Merryman Summer School back in 1987, I think it was, and Nell was there, and that's where I met my husband at the time. he was staying in a house with Anel and Nuala and a whole group of them. He was working for the BBC at the time in England. And so he invited me. I don't know how we bumped into each other. I know what it was. Nell, John A. Murphy, the senator and historian, and renowned historian, was giving a talk in the Merryman Summer School. And I went to hear it, and I was going to hear, as I thought, you know, a good historical talk about the whole history of the Troubles, going back, what they led up to, you know, right going way back into the early times. But instead, Johnny kind of departed off script, and it was the whole revisionist movement was in full flight. And it was really quite hurtful. It wasn't academic, and it was really a rant about Republican violence. And I remember being really shocked, and as a northerner from the bog side there. And at that point, when it was finished, there was questions and answers, and Nell got up to speak. And she, from the minute she opened her mouth, she wove a spell around everybody and everything in her response to what he had said. And like, she articulated my pain. She articulated the pain of, you know, some other people there, particularly those of us from the north who had suffered through a lot of violence on every side. And I remember thinking, that's amazing. So I went over to talk to her. And she, who are you? Where are you from? How are you? Oh, hi, Margaret. Oh, hi. And so that was it. Come and have lunch with us tomorrow. So that's what I did. And that's when I met my ex-husband. And she was just lovely, you know. And I remember going swimming in Clahan, and Nuala and herself were there. We all went swimming. And something, Nuala got a fright, and Nell was so tender with her. And so I was watching this keenly, because, I mean, this was my first time really meeting her and getting to know her in person. So then, because I'd met my husband through her and all that, Nell was invited to the wedding, and she arrived. And I can tell you again, the unpredictability of Nell, the present. She bought us a brilliant wedding present. And it was, which again, I never would have expected. It was a beautifully framed photograph of this, the pillar to Governor Walker, which would be the equivalent of Nelson's pillar in Dublin, and was blown up by the IRA in Derry as Nelson was blown up in Dublin. Here's this beautifully framed picture overlooking the Bogside where we grew up. And I mean, he would not have been beloved of the people of the Bogside.
I'll read you some of the comments coming in from John. I remember meeting Nell McCafferty in a bar in Genoa during Italian 90. She was reporting for your show on RT at the time. She told us Mary Robinson would win the presidential election that year, and we all laughed, but she was great crack. R.I.P. Nell. Nell was a mighty woman. She was gas. That's from Kathy. We need more feisty women like Nell McCafferty, who was never afraid to speak up on behalf of women's rights. May you rest in peace, Nell. Pat, thank you very much for joining us on the line to remember Nell McCafferty, your fellow citizen of the town you both love so well, that of Derry.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.